Okay, now, before we get started on our message today, I would like to ask if you're going to follow along in the Bible, that you please use the King James Authorized Version. I'm asking that because everything that's said here in this sermon today is taken out of the King James, and if you use another version, then you're apt to be somewhat confused. All right? Now, this is not a message on condemning Bible versions. This is a message that is very important. It goes right back to the beginning. But to avoid any type of confusion, I would ask that you please follow along in the King James Authorized Version. Okay? With that said, the title of my message today is, Yea, Hath God Said? Yea, Hath God Said? Well, the biggest lie in the world, or the biggest lie the world would ever forget. Yea, hath God said. Why? Why does the world hate this very line? Yea, hath God said. Well, we are about to find out. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, oh Lord God, I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to bring forth this message that you've laid on my heart, Lord. It just seems so important, not only back then in the beginning, Lord, but all through the ages and today and tomorrow as well. Because what happened in the garden is applicable today as well. Because people haven't really changed that much. What they've done is changed what the Word of God has said to what they would rather it say. So I thank you, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that people who hear this will get some insights and grasp as to what the situation really was back then and why it's conducive to the situation today. Okay? So I ask you to give me wisdom, Lord. You'd give me utterance when all is said and done. May those who hear this word, Lord, be encouraged. For I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, now, remember when, as a child at play with a sibling or a friend, and that person said to you, "Oh boy, you're in big trouble when you get home. Mama said you weren't allowed to take a shortcut through the garden." Whew, I'm going right home telling Mama you shortcutted her garden. So off goes your little tattletale sister or friend to get you in trouble. Been there? Now, at the house, we get the truth about what Mama really said. Mama said, "We may go through the garden. And if you're a little hungry, it's okay to eat whatever you want. But do not eat the berries along the fence line. Because the day you do, you will become very sick." And so it was from that day forth. Do not eat the berries at the fence line. They are forbidden. What Mama said was, we could eat anything we wanted in the garden, except the berries along the fence line. For in that day, we should eat those forbidden berries. Well, we will have disobeyed her authority. And guess what? There's a price to pay. Now, if we look first of all, at Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, we'll have our platform for this message. Now, we must listen carefully, and if you don't get it the first time, rewind and go back to it as many times as you need to in order to absorb what is actually being said here. This is very important. I cannot emphasize that too much. It's very important, okay? Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Do you see the similarities of today and yesterday? The mother in example one, as an overseer to the welfare of her family, issued the same type of warning to her children. Of all the vegetables in the garden, you may freely eat, but of the fruit of the vine at the fence line, you must not eat. For if you do, in that day you will suffer greatly. Do you see the comparison here? And the only thing that's changed from Genesis to the present day is the participants, the voices. But the message is basically the same, and it's done a lot of damage, and it continues to do so, and is probably Satan's greatest weapon. Now, did Mother mean these berries were poisonous along the fence line? Well, perhaps. But the point made back in Genesis is the same point that is made now and every day somewhere in the world. It's a lesson how obedience comes face to face with the dire consequences of disobedience. Its message is multifold. In other words, do as you're told, and there will be no punishment. Do as you're told, and there will be no punishment. Now remember this. This is what God said to Adam, not to Eve. Got that? He said this to Adam, not to Eve. Of course, as it was back in the beginning, so it is today. Now, as we move on, slowly enter Eve into the picture or into the equation. You remember Eve. She and Adam were very close at one time. No pun intended. Now, when Adam and Eve became an item living in paradise, we must agree that this happy couple, and I say happy because they had nothing to bring sadness upon them in their perfect world. Unfortunately, because of the big rumble in heaven between God and Lucifer, God cast him down with his angels to the earth. Earth would be their home, and this is where they'd stay and rule for thousands of years. Thousands of years. When one seeks power and one has the real estate to exercise such power, to put it mildly, there is no room. No room for aliens to interfere. Now, when God created the Garden of Eden, he didn't do so to benefit that old devil and his angels. No, sir. The garden in Genesis was there to accommodate Adam and Eve and their offspring. A perfect place for a perfect couple to begin their perfect life and replenish the earth. Unfortunately, that old devil had other plans. Now, if we look in Genesis chapter 3, we'll read verses 1 to 6. All right? Genesis 3, verses 1 to 6. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Wow. Now, let's return to the last part of verse 1 and 2, where Satan came to Eve as a serpent. We read, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, let's stop there just for a second. Let's compare what God said to Adam in chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 2, verse 16. We know what he said to Eve, or what the devil said to Eve. Now let's see what God actually said to Adam. Chapter 2, verse 16. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. So you see right away in chapter 3, 1, the last half, of chapter 3, yea, if God said, when the devil talks to Eve in a different sort of way, down near the end of verse 1, we read, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, what did God say to Adam? Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Now, not quite the same, is it? A little confusion in there, I'd say. But what did Eve reply? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, I don't want to confuse you, so I urge you to listen carefully. You might want to play this back and keep your Bible in front of you and follow along, okay? I want to pause here momentarily and simply take a closer look at verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, what some God-haters are doing today is trying desperately to use the scriptures to destroy the scriptures. You get that? When we're commanded to compare scripture with scripture, to bring it a greater light to us, but those who hate God, and especially the devil, they will use scripture to destroy scripture. And say, look, it says here one thing, and over there it says another thing. But if you study, you'll see there's no real contradiction there at all. You must compare scripture with scripture. I certainly don't want to confuse you now, so please listen carefully. Follow along closely. Note what Eve said was not exactly the same as what God told Adam in verses 16 and 17. In chapter 3, verse 2, the woman, Eve, instead of repeating what God had said to Adam, well, what did she say? Well, verse 2, in response to the serpent. We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but, verse 3, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now notice that Eve did not identify the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? She did not identify. She just said the tree in the midst of the garden. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, instead she said the tree in the middle of the garden, in the midst of the garden. We can't eat of that. Now, the midst of the garden, now a lot of people would like to contradict the Bible here and say, well, I can tell where the middle of the garden is, and there's probably more than one tree in the middle of the garden. Now look at the serpent. Look at the serpent in verse 4. Talk about sneaky. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, now right about this moment, Eve is getting a little perplexed, I would imagine. A little perplexed. And that old serpent knows this. So what does he say to her in verse 5? Look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What? Slippery, I dare say. Wasn't this that little push that Eve needed? Wasn't it? I mean, the very height of temptation. So what did Eve do? She just trotted on down there to the midst of the garden, probably in hot pursuit by Adam. But it was too late. It was too late. Eve had already eaten of that delicious forbidden fruit. And, of course, by the time Adam arrived and seen that she was okay, that she hadn't dropped dead, what did the big dummy do? He took a bite also. He took a bite also. Was that old serpent smarter than any beast of the field? Oh. Who was in the transgression here? Who was in the transgression? The woman. But Adam wasn't far behind. Did they die? Did they die as God said they would? Verse 17, the last half, 17b. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And what does that mean? What does it mean, thou shalt surely die? Obviously, they lived on after their great sin against God. But they suffered a spiritual death and would need to be saved, just like we are today. We need salvation. We need to be saved. Now, are you confused? I pray not. I pray not. Please read the scriptures. And again, I emphasize, use only the King James authorized version for this message. Please. To save that confusion I'm talking about, that the devil is injecting all the way along from that day right till the present. Read the scriptures for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. But don't forget, you have to be saved first. Don't try to get into this here without being saved, because you'll just end up in a big guffaw and not know what's going on, don't understand a thing, and just say, oh, well, no wonder, you know, Christians are walking about with their head in the sand. They don't know what's going on. Look at that. Who can understand that stuff? Get saved. You will see it come alive. The Holy Spirit will indwell you, will give you the utterance, will give you the understanding. It's really quite simple once you can grasp it, but you cannot, as long as you are not a child of the King, you cannot possibly grasp the real truth of what happened in the garden. Okay? Don't forget, you have to be saved first. You need to be saved to have access to the Holy Spirit and His leading, His guiding. So, what did we get from all this in Genesis? We got Adam and Eve lived in paradise, right? We got God commanded Adam concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? We got the serpent who got Eve, who twisted God's word, right? We got Adam and Eve eating the forbidden fruit. We got that when they sinned against God, death passed over them, and they would require a Savior. Now, I would imagine the fact that Adam was created first, and Eve was born out of the side of Adam, this might constitute a reason, for being called the weaker vessel. I know you ladies don't like to go there, but this is the way it is. The couple, or that coupled with Eve sinning first, because of her being hoodwinked by the devil, would seem to fortify that application, that she was the weaker vessel. Add that to 1 Peter. I'm going to go over to 1 Peter now. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. All right? You see, everything is taken from Scripture. It's not taken from the heart of man in any attempt to defile woman or anybody else. It's taken from the Scriptures. This is, and if you cannot receive what God has said in His Word, then you cannot receive the salvation. You'll die in your sin. And you know what that means. However, with all this said and done, let us take that application. Yea, hath God said, and bring it forward a few thousand years. All right? Why would we do that? Like I kind of hinted on, because those very words that Satan, the snake, whispered into the ear of Eve and planted a seed of doubt are very much the rule of thumb today. Is this not what's going on in our New Age churches today? Yea, hath God said? Well, my Bible says this. What? Yours says that? Oh, well, I believe this is what God said. You know, Scripture, changed a lot over the years. Well, not according to Psalm 12, 6 and 7, which says God has preserved His Word. Think about that one. You call God a liar? Woo, be careful, be careful. More and more people, including so-called Christians today, are whispering to each other those exact words. Jay, hath God said? Is this what God really said? My Bible doesn't say that. My wife's Bible doesn't say that. I know the church down the road, their Bibles don't say that. How can we be sure we got the right Word of God? Pray. Pray without ceasing. God will give you the right Word. Worse even still, you think God really said that? You think God really said that? Or if we bring it home to the present, I don't think God meant it the way you think. I don't think God meant it the way you think at all. Now you're in real trouble. Why so many different Bibles? The short answer is because people don't like to believe they're sinners. You go up to a person and say, you know what, you're a sinner. They look at you like you're crazy. Don't you call me a sinner. I ain't no sinner. Oh, duh. It hurts. It hurts like hell to read in the Bible you're a sinner. There's a Bible out there that agrees with you, though, that you're not a sinner. There's a Bible out there, out of the 400-plus Bibles on the newsstands today, that will agree with everything you want them, you want to believe is true. How's that? You're bound to find one you like, right? Find one you like. Oh, man. Yea, hath God said his word was preserved from this generation forever? Yes, sir. Psalm 12, verse 7. Yea, hath God said heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away? Yep. Luke 21, 23. Yea, hath God said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth? Oh, yeah. Luke 13, 28. Yea, hath God said the word of God, pardon me, yea, hath the word of God said, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name? Yep, Psalm 138b. Yea, hath God said, man shall not live by bread alone? Yep, Luke 4:4. Yea, hath God said the Ten Commandments? Hath God said, come out from among them and be ye separate? Or what fellowship hath light with darkness? My question is, what's so bloody hard to not understand? I ask you, my friends, when a slithering reptile picks the brain of our First Lady and convinces her that the verbal instructions of our righteous God are nothing more than poppycock, then all I can say is, Houston, we have a problem. Thus came the antiquated saying, so oft repeated by the jilted women of today. He's nothing more than a snake in the grass. Whoa. Translated, he's evil, misleading, and up to no good. Talking about man. The woman making reference to man. The great baseball legend, Lou Gehrig, most of you have heard of him, probably. In his famous retirement speech, you still see it from time to time when they're going back in time on TV or wherever. Lou Gehrig, in his famous retirement speech to a sold-out crowd at Yankee Stadium, will always be remembered by these immortal words. Listen carefully. Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. Got it? Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the... Ooh! Would a child of the king have phrased it that same way? I think not. Is lucky a synonym for blessed? I think not. They have absolutely nothing in common. Absolutely nothing. I use this example to make a valid point. Wherever you go at various times and meet different people and get involved in different cultures and have different mandates, you can be sure, the word luck in some form will be bandied about. The word lucky in the Christian's vernacular is spelled slightly different. Instead of L-U-C-K-Y, it's spelled B-L-E-S-S-I-N-G. Now, we could go on and on defining our Christian walk and talk, but you know, we really have to return to the garden, that pivotal point leading up to our rebirth, not Eden, but Gethsemane, where the final decision was made, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, just listen carefully for a moment and try to understand that crucial opening dialogue given by the master of deceit. Yea, if God said, for the most controversial words the world would ever know. What these words do, right at the outset, what they do is exactly what Satan intended they should do. To plant a seed of doubt in the minds of potential Christians and Christians. And man, oh man, did he do a number on us? Why do you think we have so many different Bibles to choose from? Because of that infamous line, yea, hath God said. Satan, during his best day, could never make a liar out of God, but he did what he could. He went after the weaker vessel, Eve. To affirm this, let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, which we did earlier. Genesis 3, 4 to 6. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. In these very verses, Genesis 3, 4 to 6, Satan tries to justify what he means and actually does call God a liar. So, how does what happened in Genesis really affect us today? Well, quite simply, because of yea, God said, and the ensuing dialogue that causes people to question their faith in the Scriptures, well, as a result, they're searching for a Bible they can find easier to believe. Not easier to understand, but easier to believe. And it's not so condemning. And guess what? They're not hard to find. How many women refuse to take the blame for what Eve did? Or men for what Adam did? How many? Can man rewrite history? He's already rewritten the Bible. Would you find the last five words of Genesis 3:16 in all the new versions of the Bible that are out there? Would you? He shall rule over thee. He shall rule over thee. Is he the husband and thee the wife? Huh? This message is not about wives and husbands. It's about the altering of God's holy word. Unfortunately, Satan went after the woman to initiate his plan of confusion. Did it work? Yes, it worked. It worked today more so than ever. Confusion reigns supremely among Christians. And God is not the author of confusion. My friends, you must understand there's a battle going on, even as I speak. There's a battle going on, and only those who are on the Lord's side will prevail. Only those who are on the Lord's side. Are you on the Lord's side? Do not go after, I implore you, please, do not go after the gender situation. It's over. It's done. Satan's goal is fully realized. The end times are upon us. And only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last. It took thousands of years for Satan to fully implement his plan. Thousands of years to figure us out and properly execute his dastardly deeds. The non-believers. He had no problem with them. The various religions were easy to overcome because they were already bottled up in confusion. The biggest offensive he had to deal with were the semi-believers. I use that word cautiously. Semi-believers. They were always in a quandary over the scriptures. And their faith was weak at best. And now the battle rages. Yea, as God said. An explosion of Bibles to suit any spiritual desire. The King James was tossed about, knocked about, kicked about, stomped on. And by the time Satan and his band of pen-knifers were finished, well, it seemed like God's preserved word was about to go under. I believe we are at that point right now. The assault on God's word by way of the King James Authorized Version is at a new high. But I believe that God will still honor His Word according to the Scriptures as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit prepare for the Great Tribulation. I believe. But first, the removal of the church, God's faithful. To this I say, yea, hath God said? And God will do. Oh, yeah. You see, friends, just as Satan beguiled Eve in the garden a long time ago, those lies, those misgivings that Eve went through actually set the stage for what is presently going on in our churches today and in the world. You see, sin may have started in the garden, but it ended at the cross when Jesus suffered and died for the sin of the whole world. Oh yes, we're still in the flesh and we still are involved with sin. But all we have to do is to believe and repent in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I thank you for listening. God bless. Amen.